share some more of that music about how you were working to change the world and maybe one of those songs that you put out there to help motivate people?
One of the things that's going on in the big context that doesn't necessarily get the pieces connected in the media is globalization. And it's an issue that has been in the public eye only, it seems, when there's some kind of big protest or there's a big meeting about globalization. But the fact is that it affects us in our everyday lives, what we buy and where it comes from and who's getting paid to make it or not getting paid to make it. And it comes very close to home, the whole issue of making things in other countries and sending them around and whether or not this is going to raise the standard of living around the globe, as is claimed by the people who are for it, or whether or not it's actually going to lower the standard of living around the planet. And then attached to that is the question of whether the planet can sustain a universally raised standard of living. Dr. David Suzuki says that the standard of living of North Americans, if it was worldwide, what the planet can sustain on a long-term basis is about 300 or 400 million people, which means that if globalization continues, perhaps the standard of living is going to significantly lower in first world countries and hopefully rise in third world countries. But whether the population can be sustained on an ongoing basis in a modern consumer culture is pretty questionable. So one of the things that I was thinking about was, and it's very applicable to what's going on in Wisconsin right now, 150 years ago, the division was between the owner of the factory and the factory workers. And a lot of the conflicts in labor history and business history are around that conflict between the owner of the capital and the workers who make that capital turn into more money and profit down the road. And it occurred to me that although things were bad in those days, and there's lots of terrible stories, at least it was clear who the sides were, who the owner was, who the workers were, what they each wanted. That was all clear. And these days, it's not clear anymore, because you may work for a corporation that's owned by a consortium that's owned by another corporation, and there may be 5 or 6 countries involved, and all of them report to their shareholders, who are anonymous people, who no one can actually contact and say, did you know that a subsidiary of this company that you've invested in has invested in this other subsidiary company that is doing something that is doing harm in this country? Well, it just gets so tenuous that nobody feels moved to act. So this song is about trying to make those connections between the big picture, the little picture, and the fact that globalization is something that affects us in our daily lives, and I don't have an easy answer to it. And certainly globalization has no clear future either, given that we may be reaching, in the not-too-distant future, the end of oil and the end of the ability to ship goods and money around the globe the way it has been going. And this last bursting of the bubble was actually predicted in this song, which I wrote in 91. The bubble has burst. The economic bubble has burst around the globe, and yet the people who had a lot of money before the bubble burst have even more now. I recently read an article that said that it's been the biggest transfer of wealth in human history from lower to the very top of the upper classes. That's what's happened in this last bursting of the bubble. So this song is about the internationalization of commerce and the internationalization of law that makes it possible for corporations to basically do as they want and be free from any kind of democratic checks and balances from the people of the nations where the company is operating or the people of the nations that the company belongs to initially. So this song is called No Country's Law, and it's on the Beyond the Storm album.
It used to be owners would live near the factories with faces and names and places they shopped, and they might have been hard and they might have been cruel, but you knew where the buck should be stopped. Now there's senior executives making 8 figures who answer to boardrooms, who answer to all, who invest in the company. Nobody knows them, so nobody knows who to call. But profits keep rising from quarter to quarter to feed the great gaping anonymous maw. And they keep all their money in overseas shelters, a an answer to no country's law.